All right. You know, isn't it interesting? The Bible says, out of the mouths of babes, he has appointed himself praise. In fact, the passage of the Bible that quotes that in the New Testament is actually the story of Palm Sunday, where when Jesus was coming into the city, the children started saying, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And the religious leaders told Jesus, "Tell the children to shut up." And Jesus said, "If they shut up, the rocks are going to sing." Because God appoints praise. And it is the greatest thing that you or your children can be involved in, is exalting God. Because when we exalt God and we humble ourselves, humility attracts grace. God wants to bless us. Just like each of you as parents, I mean, there's so many times when you want to do these things for your kids, but occasionally, I know this rarely happens, but occasionally they're living in such a way that you can't give them what you want to give them because of how they're acting. Can any parent say amen? And yet our Heavenly Father is the same way, that he wants us to humble ourselves so he can bless us, but oftentimes we're struggling with that. And Jesus Christ provided an amazing example for us. Think about this. The God of heaven had prophesied that the Messiah would come for thousands of years. And that as they were waiting for this to happen, the day comes, all right? I mean, this had been announced from creation with Moses, right? And then you came with David, and then Daniel, and Isaiah, and Jeremiah, and each of the prophets, right, to Malachi, saying the Messiah is going to come, and when he shows up, what's with the ride? I mean, you know, on the day you're going to present the King of Kings, wouldn't you expect it to be extraordinary? And what did Jesus come riding into Jerusalem on in 32 AD? Not just a donkey, a baby donkey. You know, you kind of got to think those same angels that were there the day that they announced to the shepherds were there going, "Who made the arrangements?" Because it's upside down, isn't it? We think that has to be some extraordinary thing, and yet in Zechariah 9:9, he said the king is going to come riding on a donkey. Because in Jesus' day, when a king came to a city riding on a donkey, he was coming announcing terms of peace. That was the principle. If he came on a chariot, if he came in on a stallion, he was saying, "I come to rule and to reign and to conquer." But Jesus came to Jerusalem saying, "I'm declaring to you terms of peace." And so he came humbly. And I think he provided for us an incredible example, because when you think about it, Jesus came to us in humility, inviting us to come to him in humility. Because that's really the only way you can come to God. When you come to God proud, you're going to have problems, just like they talked about. And any of you who have coached, you've come into some players like we had over here, haven't you? There's some people who think they've got it all together, and they are all that and a bag of chips. And yet you know that honestly creates tremendous problems. I coached soccer all the way through high school, and I had some great athletes play for me, but oftentimes they couldn't play well with other athletes. And so they never reached their potential because humility wasn't a part of their life. In fact, the Bible actually speaks to that. I'd like to share it with you from James chapter 4. If you'd like to follow along just briefly in your pew Bible, you'll find it on page 928 is the passage here. James chapter 4. And I like this book, and it's not because of the name, although it's got a cool name. But it's actually because this book can slap you quicker than just about any other book in the Bible other than the book of Proverbs. Because he's so clear about his points. And here's what he says. In Proverbs 6, he says, "But he gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble." God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace
to the humble. We heard that today from the kids, didn't we? Therefore, he says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, your joy into gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Jesus came humbly on a donkey, saying, I want to have a relationship with you. I want to live at peace with you. I want you in my family. And even as he came on his celebration day, he wept because he knew people wouldn't receive him. But here it points out something that Jesus dealt with as soon as he got into Jerusalem. He had religious leaders in his face. And you know, Jesus didn't budge in the face of religious arrogance. And we're still dealing with that today. People who claim to speak for God who don't speak the way God speaks. Friends, there's a basic principle stated right here, and that is this. You've already heard it. The kids have stated it. The book has stated it. It's very simple, and so I've stated it as simply as I can. God is opposed to the proud. Is that clear? God is opposed to the proud. We've been working our way through Daniel here regularly on Sunday mornings, and it was Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the universe, the king of the world, who says God is able to humble those who walk in pride. How many of you have ever lived long enough to have stumbled over your own pride? You had that experience? Yeah, you can bite yourself in the rear pretty good. You know, we can trip ourselves up. God says, I am opposed to the proud. I always thought of this because I was into sports and I wasn't very big when I was playing football and I wasn't very good. But the idea of God being opposed to me is like lining up one-on-one with God and saying, let's go at it. You know, I just never thought that sounded like a very logical idea. And yet, we can choose to be proud. But God has committed himself to stand against us when we choose pride. He's going to knock down the man who puffs up himself. All right? He's going to resist the woman who blows her own horn. He is going to embarrass the child that insists on their own way. He's going to humble you. But if you choose humility, God wants to bless you. But think of it, because most of us, when we say, you know, I'm really glad he's talking about pride because, you know, so-and-so's here today. I really hope they hear it. Isn't that right? You know, it's always somebody else. Have you ever noticed how offensive other people's pride is to you? Which usually gives you a clue of what's going on inside, because that stuff that irritates you is often in you. But think about it. What are the marks of pride? Well, I don't know how you display your pride. But I thought about this for me. And here's mine. Okay? Impatience. Oh yeah, yeah. Life is supposed to run on my clock like I'm the king of the universe. Impatience. Boasting. It is pretty fun to talk about the good stories, isn't it? To talk about the ways you did it right. To let people know how well you're doing. Or how about gossip? Just kind of letting somebody else know about somebody else so you kind of put them down a little bit and you know something so you kind of lift yourself up a little bit. That's pride. But you know, one of the ways that I think is most surprising to find is pride, even within the church, is prayerlessness. Where I think I can do it without asking God for help and therefore I just go about my day. I get up and I run through a day and if I'm not depending on him, it's saying what? I think I can do it on my own. But God says he wants to bless us. Look how he put this in Luke 14:11. I'd like you to read this with me right off the screen. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Isn't that a great promise? He says if you choose to put yourself in a proper perspective, he says, God's going to exalt you. But he says, if you choose to try and make yourself something when you're not, God is going to humble that. God will deal with that. And it's a challenge for us. You know, I was thinking about this when the kids were up here sharing and they were performing. And you know, they weren't perfect, but they were perfect to you. Isn't that right, grandparents? Perfect children you've got, isn't that right? But you know, it's kind of interesting, you know, you think about it, is we are kind of like a mirror. We have a little mirror here today. And it's interesting, what do they call these kind of mirrors? Vanity mirrors. I wonder why they call it vanity mirrors. Well, there's this magnifying spot on here so you can catch every little speck and deal with it. But you know, when the mirror is really doing its job, guess what? You don't even notice it. The mirror's job is to reflect truth. And when we do our jobs in this life, we're like a mirror. God just wants us reflecting truth. The only time when you notice the mirror is either when it's got a flaw in it or it's got dirt on it. You know how that happens in the morning, toothpaste all over the glass. And it has to get what? It has to get cleaned up. When you bring your life to God, God can clean it up so that you can be a reflection of truth. How many of you this morning were amazed at how much truth you heard your kids share? Wasn't that amazing? They packed it in. That was a great message that they gave us. And yet, out of the mouths of babes, they can bring forth truth. And you've been pouring that in, parents. I want to affirm that. And yet, today you humbled yourself to say, hey, we're going to be here because this is important. What's important? Think about this. That you're on stage and you're performing. But what's the other message we need to be giving to the kids? That being in the family of God is important. That sitting under teaching and being encouraged to serve God is important. Be careful with the message. We can actually teach our kids pride when we're actually just trying to encourage them. But it says God's opposed to the proud. But then there's this other great part of the promise here in James 4:6. He says what? He gives grace to the humble. Grace to the humble. What's grace? God's unmerited favor. God's blessing. And when we're in situations, pride stumbles us. Pride trips us up. Pride creates conflict for us. Even between children. You ever notice that? Mine. Little selfish fights over the food. But you know what? We need to choose to humble ourselves. We need to choose to swallow our pride. I thought it was interesting. I came across a quote the other day that said, swallowing your pride rarely leads to indigestion. You know? But sometimes we're just going to hang on to it and we won't let go. And so, what is humility? Because sometimes when we talk about humility, people think humility is the idea that I have to say that I'm nothing. Well, you know what? God made you someone. You are a person of value and importance in God's eyes. But you are what you are because of who God is. And so I see humility as really a proper view of yourself in relationship to God and others. See, because that pride thing comes either with me thinking I'm as good as God. That was Satan's problem, right? Or I'm better than the other people around me. You know, you don't have to look that hard to find somebody that's doing worse than you are. And you just get irritated with those people who seem to be doing better than you. Isn't that right? That's pride inside. So think about this. Three things, I think, if you want to look at your life and say, how humble am I? Or how proud am I? Three areas. One is your attitude. Have you ever noticed how people can really cop-a-tude? I mean, they can really grab onto something and it's just like, what is with them? Your attitudes reflect what's going on the inside. And certain people that you work with, yeah, they just kind of pet the fur the wrong way. And you know, you're just like, that person just drives me crazy. What's going on inside? You know, whatever's inside is you. That's not them. It's coming from the inside. And the other thing that I've found as a challenge when it comes to pride is conversations. You ever just stop and listen sometimes when people are talking? And so often you find, particularly if you go to like a social or a party, people are talking about who? Themselves. People love talking about me, myself, and I. Is there a more interesting subject than that? That's it. And One of the questions I try to ask myself when I walk out of situations like that is, did I encourage anybody today by my conversations? Was it about me, or did I make it about them? Did I listen to that person? Did they feel like they were heard? Did they feel like they were valued? Conversations can really show pride up, and being a yakker person like I am, I have to really watch that. Because I like to talk. That's why they gave me this job. Well, there's a couple other things that came with that too, but some of you, that's your personality. It is not wrong to be a talker if you can learn how to make that conversation honor and direct and bless the people around you. That's okay. Your personality is what God gave you. You can't change that. But the other thing is your actions. How do you respond like we saw them responding to the proud athlete? Are you willing to serve those that are proud? See, sometimes we're able to serve those that are nice. We can serve the person who's humble. We can serve the people that we're comfortable with. But humility will even serve the proud. Think about Jesus. He was the Son of God, the creator of the universe. And he came to this earth and did what? Washed disciples' feet. I'm here to tell you, fisherman in sandals does not sound attractive for foot washing assignment to me. But Jesus did. Why? Get this. Because he knew who he was, and he knew who his father was, and he knew who they were in the family. And he was willing to serve. And so you can look at your attitudes, your conversations, or your actions. Are you serving? And see whether or not you're growing in humility. Because that's a part of it. Because you know what? God really calls us to be a mirror. To be a reflection. Of what? Yourself? No. Of truth. That's what he wants to show up in your life. A reflection of truth to everybody around you. So when they look into you, they see truth staring back at them. They see hope. They see opportunity. They see encouragement. And so God says he's opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Why? Because he wants to be in relationship. Isn't that really what we want? A God that wants to be in relationship? A God that wants to know you? A God that wants to talk to you? It's interesting, when Jesus came, one of the primary commands that Jesus gave was what? Follow me. Now there's a tendency for us when we think about the God factor, to think about, God said, don't do this and don't do this and don't do this. And Jesus said, if you love, you follow me. It's just about loving and following. Believe me, follow me. What's following? It's a relational invitation that Jesus says, I want you rightly related. I want you close to me. How many of you parents have said, now kids, stay right with me now. Now you go into the store, isn't that right? You know, we would find one of our kids up underneath the clothes racks. All of a sudden a little head would pop up. You're like, where did he go? You know? And what do you want? You just want him to follow. You want him to stay what? In right relationship with you. You want them submitting to what? Your authority, your direction, going the way you're going. Isn't that what Father says to us? It's just the same thing. He says, how are you doing life? I want you to follow me. Jesus invites us to follow. So, how does that look? Think about it this way. If I'm following Jesus, it'll mean that I'm choosing humility in my relationships with those around me. Yep, even with that parent that is so irritating. Even with those children that don't know how to raise your grandchildren. You know, even with those teachers who can't seem to realize your child is a perfect genius. You're going to have humility in your relationships if you're truly following Jesus. Because Jesus was humble. And Jesus is humble. And he says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For I am humble and lowly of heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my burden is easy and my yoke is light. Because it'll fit. It'll work for you. Think about this. If we're humble, we will submit ourselves to God in all our relationships. If you're humble, you'll submit yourself to God in all your relationships. What do I mean, submit yourself to God? That whatever God's asked of you in that relationship, that's what you give. That's what you present. And I'll tell you, are there any places more challenging than family to live out humility? You know? I mean, you guys all know that whenever I get ready to teach on something like this, I always get tested. And wow, has it been a week for me with my own birth family. I got this amazing birth family. But sometimes they're amazingly irritating, you know? And you're going, where are they coming from? And if they said that, then I want to submit to the Father and reflect Jesus back into their life. I had this very difficult situation this week, and somebody was, I couldn't believe it, extremely mad at me. And does that sound arrogant? Yeah, we're always surprised when somebody gets offended by us, aren't we? And yet I had to figure out, okay, that's where they are. How do I show love to them where they are? Because it's not about me. It's about Jesus loving them. And it was really cool to see, after a few interactions, that God broke through. God broke through. But whether it happened or not, because I've got other situations where the breakthrough hasn't happened, and it hasn't happened for years. Well, you're still praying, and you're still waiting. But if you humble yourself and submit yourself to God in all your relationships, God is going to work. Because he says he exalts those who are humble. He gives grace to the humble. So think about it. Jesus did this in all his relationships with his disciples as he was heading up to Jerusalem. Do you remember what they were talking about? Who is the greatest? Okay, can you imagine that you are God Almighty walking around in a human body? You spent 3 years discipling these guys about what it means to live humbly and dependently upon your God. You're walking to your sacrificial death, and the guys that are with you are saying, I think I'm better than you are. Oh, no, 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 I got this better together. I performed more miracles than you did. And Jesus is over there going, by whose power? We can get hung up on ourselves. But Jesus related like the Father wanted him to his disciples, even though he knew they were going to deny him, they were going to betray him, they were going to walk away from him. And when he got to the city and the religious leaders were there confronting him, oh my, this is one of those spots where I'm glad that I wasn't there. To say what they said to Jesus, I think if I'd have been Jesus, and you know I'm not, I'd have said, you can go someplace right now. You're out of here. You're done. Isn't that right? We want that kind of power. Jesus had that power, and yet he lived fully submitted to the Father, even when he was rejected. Someone's going to crucify God, and he says, I'll let you do that. The crowd, they were yelling, Hosanna, save us. You're the King. Now that sounds really honoring, right? Why? Who are they saying that? Because we want the Romans off our back. Will you please come bless our lives and take over this stuff and fix everything here for us so we can have the life that we want? It was still selfish. You don't think so? A week later, they were saying what? Crucify him. He didn't do what we wanted. And in the very end, and to the very end, Jesus fully submitted himself in relationship with his Heavenly Father. Let me read it to you from the book of Philippians chapter 2. Being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And for this reason, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. How did he get that position? By being who he was and submitting himself fully to the Father, even to the point of dying on the cross for you and for me. And so I just got two questions for you as we come to this spot. You know that Jesus is humble. Jesus reflected that. And when you think about that, he says, every knee will bow. And so the question is, has your knee bowed? Have you asked God to save you? It's Hosanna, Lord, save. Well, it's a very simple statement, but it's a huge thing to say, I can't save myself. I'm a sinner. I needed a Savior. That's why you came, and you died, and you rose again. I believe that. Lord, save me. That statement will bring the grace of God into your life. If it's from your heart, that statement saying, Lord, save me, brings God's grace into your heart. And if you've done that, the next question for you is, are you growing in humility? Are you asking God to grow you in humility? We like a lot of things to be blessed in our lives, but you say, Lord, would you show me how to be more humble? Jesus came humbly to us, inviting us to come humbly to him. And as I speak here right at the close to believers, I just want to be really clear, because I think the book is really clear. God's opposed to the proud, not just proud non-Christians. Proud Christians. It is an abomination to be proud in God's sight. Sometimes Christians like to quote certain things. This is an abomination to God. This is an abomination to God. Yeah, pride is an abomination to God, believer. Pride is a contradiction of Christian faith. There ought to be no such thing as a proud Christian, because everything a Christian has, he received from Christ. I'm just graced. And boy, have we been graced, haven't we? Then those around us who may not have yet received that grace ought to see nothing but grace flowing out of us towards them. Humble yourselves in the presence of God, and he will exalt you. Let's pray. Father God, I just come before you right now, acknowledging you've got an awesome word. It shows us ourselves. It's a mirror in itself. And I just want to acknowledge that I still need that correction. I still need that direction. I'm still a child, Father. And we come to you as children today to say, would you please direct us back into your will? Father, we got stresses in our families between parents and children and parents and grandparents and children and neighbors. Well, we just want to lay that before you and say, Father, would you show us how to respond humbly to one another, how to respond in love, how to really follow Jesus? And Lord, I ask for the one here today who's wrestling with this issue or whether they're willing to humble themselves. I ask that you touch their heart. Lord, as only you can. And I thank you for the way you've touched so many before. And I believe you're going to do it again. In the name of Jesus Christ, our humble Savior, I ask it. Amen.